Good evening. Just take your Bible and turn to 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but further back in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 5. While you turn there, Pastor mentioned Christ died for the Arabs, amen. Died for everybody about 15 years ago or so. Sherry and I were in the Barnes & Noble on the island, over on Merritt Island, which is not there anymore. But we were in there on a Saturday, and there was a fellow there that had a book. He had his books that a book that he had written, and he had all these books for sale that he had just come out, and he was signing them. So we got to talking to him, and the guy's name was Tas Sada, if I'm saying it right, Arab man, and he wrote a book called Once an Arafat Man. And we had the best conversation with this guy because he got saved. And the book is a testimony of his life. And one of the most amazing things in the book, I'll give you two things. After he got saved, his family turned their back on him. And he witnessed to his brother. And his brother, when he witnessed to him, held a gun to his head. And he thought to himself, well, this is it. And the Lord just miraculously spared his life. His brother put the gun down and listened to him. He also had opportunity to witness to Arafat. Sit right across the table. I had a few minutes, but he got to give the gospel to Arafat. Isn't that wild? So, pretty neat. But that book is out. I think I have a couple of copies at home. I'll try to remember to bring one in. Really, really neat read, though. Once an Arafat Man, if you want to look for that. Good book. God will save anybody, no matter their background. Amen to that? So, let's go to 1 John 5. This is the last in the series on overcomers. And this is number 12. And this one should be one that we all personally apply because we've been through a bunch of people in the Bible. Last week we had the Apostle Paul. Guess who the overcomer is this week? It's you. Well, let me be more specific. The saved. So the title of this week is Overcomers, Part 12, The Saved. Did you know that God wants the saved to overcome? He doesn't want you to live in defeat. He wants you to be victorious. The Lord wants the saved to have victorious living. So we'll talk about what that's all about. 1 John 5, let's start reading here in verse number 1. We'll read down to verse 5. The Bible says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? See, I just proved it from the Bible. God desires that the saved live lives as overcomers. Amen? So a little help for all of us tonight on how to be an overcomer as someone who knows Jesus Christ as Savior. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Lord God, here we are again in need. And we need you and the power of your Holy Spirit to show us the truth, to help us to apply and live out the truth. And I pray that we would all be equipped to be overcomers in the days and the weeks ahead, however short or long that may be. I pray that we would in this week ahead be reminded of this message and things you showed us from your word when we really need it, when we are tempted, when this world presses down on us, when this flesh presses on us. May we be reminded of the power you have given us and only through the Lord Jesus Christ, the power to overcome. And I pray that we would all just gain something that would be used immediately by all of us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said, God intends for Christians to live victorious lives. Now you have to be careful because the world has its own ways of, quote, overcoming. So I listen to a lot of podcasts, and one particular podcast I listen to, the fella has good information on the subject of self-discipline. But the problem I keep finding when I listen to that podcast is the discipline comes all from the person, the self, and there's nobody else involved. So if you're relying on yourself to be disciplined, how are you going to do with that? Anybody out there? How are you going to do with that? You're not going to do very well. You're going to fail. So if you're continually relying on you for anything, you are not going to have victory. So let me just put this message in a nutshell for you. Ready? You overcome by not trusting yourself. You overcome by trusting God. That's the whole message in just a few words. You trust yourself, you will not be an overcomer. You will be a failure. If you trust the Lord, now you're on the path to overcoming. So the power to overcome is specifically from God's Holy Spirit. And I personally believe, because my Bible tells me so, that the power of the Holy Spirit is enough to overcome any spiritual enemy. Anybody say amen to that? I mean, if the Holy Spirit isn't enough, then we're all in trouble. But isn't the Holy Spirit God? If God be for us, who can be against us? Therefore, the Holy Spirit of God can be relied upon all the time to help you overcome. So before we talk about overcoming specific enemies, let's identify who our main enemies are. And this will not be new, but this is always a good reminder. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll be back in 1 John 5 in just a moment, but let's take a trip back to the left to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, right before Philippians. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, you know that Paul wrote this book, and he wrote it to save people. So this will apply specifically for people who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So look at verse 1. Ephesians 2, 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now note that. Past tense. Were dead in trespasses and sins. So if you were dead, what are you now? Alive. Verse 2. Alive in Jesus Christ, that is. Verse 2. Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this enemy number one that we'll cover tonight. The world. Specifically in the verse, the world has a course. And the world wants you to go along that course. Walk according to that course. It says right there in the verse. So notice the world is the first enemy that we need to learn to overcome, and there's help in God's Word with that. We'll get to that in a moment. But let's get all three enemies here before we move on. So it says the course of this world, comma, and then according to the prince of the power of the air. That's a title for enemy number two. Who would that be? The devil himself. Enemy number two, the devil. And then the last thing here says, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that's the devil. And then verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our, there's enemy number 3, the flesh. The lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Then it goes on to tell us what Jesus Christ did for us, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. So there are the three enemies, the world, the devil, and the flesh. So go back to 1 John chapter 5. Let me show you something. We read it, but I'll point it out again here, because there's the key in verse 4 of 1 John 5 to overcoming the world. So our enemy, number one at least, is the world. So I don't know about you, but I think every single day just about, I sense more pressure from the world to do exactly what Paul tells us not to do. He says, be not conformed to this world. But I sense this pressure. Conform, conform, Good morning. Y'all feel it? The world, I mean, the longer I live, the more I sense it. And you can stay in God's Word, and you're still going to have that pressure. It's up to you to say, I'm not going to give way to the world. I'm going to give way to God's Holy Spirit. But there's still, the pressure's there. And it just presses and presses and presses. Conform, conform, conform. But it says over there in Romans 12, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we need to overcome the world. And the battle has a whole lot to do with the mind. The world wants you to think a certain way, don't they? They want to get into your mind. Now, the devil's role in this is to blind minds. We saw that this morning. But the world wants to give you a mind that is confused and just cannot find the truth. But you know that you can find the truth right here in the Bible. So take a look. That matches what is needed to overcome the world. Verse 4, it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What is it? You know how you overcome the world? You continue to have faith in Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have to have faith in Jesus Christ every day to stay saved. I'm so glad for that. Amen? One time, your faith is enough, believing on Jesus Christ to be saved. That's a one-time transaction. But overcoming the world is a, I would say, a many times daily thing that needs to take place. So how do you overcome the world? Don't believe what I said. What does your Bible say in verse 4? The victory that overcometh the world is what? What is it? Our faith. Look at verse 5. He actually is going to tell us what that means in verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So the faith is belief in Jesus Christ alone. Again, that's what it took to save you. That's what it takes to overcome the world on a daily basis. So let me show you some verses that go along with that. Go over to Romans chapter 8. This thing on overcoming the world. Just a little personal help here. Romans chapter 8. And go down to verse 37. Towards the end. Last three verses of the chapter. Really good when it comes to this thing about overcoming. Overcoming the world specifically. Romans 8, take a look at verse 37. Great verse for overcoming. It says, nay, in all these things we are more than what? Conquerors. How? Rest of the verse. Through him that loved us. Now, who loved you? Who loved you more than anybody else? The Lord Jesus Christ. So you are, if you're saved, you are not a conqueror. What's the Bible say? You're not a conqueror. Some of you are saying, yeah, you are. I'm trying to get you to pay attention to what the Bible says. You're not a conqueror. What are you? You're more than a conqueror. When I think of conquer, I think that's a good synonym for overcoming. God wants you to have victory over the world. So it says there, you're not just a conqueror, you're more than a conqueror through him that loved us. So the only way to have the victory over the world is to continue to lean on Jesus Christ for the help to overcome the world. Then go on here, verse 38. These are great verses on eternal security, but also can help us with overcoming. It says there, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in who?
Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus our Lord. So you want to put the end of verse 39 together with the end of verse 39, verse 37. It says in 37, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then the end of verse 39, the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're seeing a common thread here. You'll see this the rest of the night with these other points. Victory, overcoming the world, the devil, and the flesh only comes first and foremost by knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and then continuing to lean on him to give you victory over the world, the devil, and the flesh. That's it. We can stop right there. That's it. Continue to trust Jesus Christ to overcome. Now, when I was a kid, I'm telling you a story here. Go to John 16. Actually, not when I was a kid. I was even in high school and college. John 16. I used to think to myself, I played baseball, y'all know that. And I would go through these times playing baseball where baseball players and athletes refer to these times when you're not playing very well. They refer to them as slumps. Just times where things are not going your way. So I would go through times, particularly as a third baseman, where I, for the life of me, I could not field a ground ball cleanly. And then if I did field it cleanly, I could not throw the ball to first base on a line to where the first baseman could catch it. Now, I had a whole lot of, and this is a mental thing with baseball, you get in your own head sometimes. I would field, and then as I'm about to throw the ball, I would say, "Don't make a bad throw," to myself. And when you think about making a bad throw, guess what happened? You make a bad throw. "Don't make a bad throw," throw in the dirt. "Don't make a bad throw," throw over his head. Man, I just struggled. So I remember thinking to myself, "What? This would be a great thing." Back at the time, Alex Rodriguez was a big-time shortstop and then third baseman. He played for my team for a little while, the Rangers. And then there's another third baseman that played for the Giants. His name was Matt Williams. And these guys were so slick in the field. They were so good. And I used to think to myself, if tomorrow's game, I could just have Alex Rodriguez or Matt Williams inside of me. And it was me, but as actually them playing. I would do so much better. And it wouldn't be me, it would be them. Now, that's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? Because that never happened. But I used to dream about this. If I could just be them, or I would be my body, but they would be inside me and be playing. Well, that never happened. But here's the beautiful thing about the Christian life. Alex Rodriguez is not in me, and he wouldn't do me any good anyway, spiritually, if you know a few things about him. Neither would Matt Williams. I have no idea where he is spiritually, but he wouldn't help me out either. But you know who is in you if you're saved? That will always help you. Jesus Christ is in you. Now with that in mind, He's in you. John 16:33. We've been to this verse a few times in our studies on overcomers, but it is a good one. John 16:33. Jesus talking here, He says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation." And all God's people said amen to that, right? That's the truth. "In the world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Look what the Lord says. "I have overcome." There's our enemy. What is it? Jesus Christ overcame the world. Right now, if you're saved, Jesus Christ is in you to help you and me overcome the world. Amen? You don't have to be a failure. The Lord wants you to be an overcomer. Don't let the world get you down. Call on the Lord to help you. Don't let the world fill your mind with a bunch of baloney. Get in God's Word. Let that fill your mind. Amen? God wants you to be an overcomer, but you can't do it. You got to constantly rely on the Lord to be an overcomer. So there's number one. There's enemy number one, the world. And God wants you to have the means of overcoming the world. He's giving you the means to overcome the world. Do y'all remember what enemy number two was? Okay. Enemy number two, the devil himself. Let's go back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. The world, the devil, and then the flesh will hit last. How do you overcome the devil? 1 John chapter 2. I think we probably read a verse or two here from 1 John 2 in our study on overcomers. But again, these are good. Look at verse 13. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. You want to look for that word overcome here. It says in verse 13, "I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome" who? You think that might be the devil? Oh, yeah. The wicked one. "I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father." Now, a little more insight on overcoming the wicked one in verse 14. "I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong." Now, watch this part. "And the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." Now, you want to notice where the strength comes from. He says, young men, verse 14, young men, because ye are strong. How do they have that strength? Keep going there. And the word of God abideth where? In you. Now, you remember, we talked about the Lord Jesus Christ a few weeks back and how he, in his earthly life, was an overcomer. And do you remember the devil coming along in the wilderness? Y'all remember that? And he gave him the three basic temptations, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And every single time, the Lord Jesus Christ responded with, it is written. Indicating that God's words resided within Jesus Christ so he could call them to memory, so he could use them to overcome the wicked one. And did it work every time? Three for three. It worked every time. If Jesus Christ used God's words to overcome the wicked one, how are you and I going to overcome the wicked one? You're going to need the words of God. Now you say, well, I got a Bible. I can open up my Bible. That's a good start. You know what's even better than having a Bible on the shelf with easy access? That's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. It's good to even have it by your bedside. That's a good thing. But you know what's even better than that? Being able to recall it just like that. So that you can use it against the devil. Over in Ephesians 6, you are given the sword of the Spirit, the only offensive weapon in the Christian's armor. And what is that sword of the Spirit? It tells you over in Ephesians 6. It says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay, let's see some more on this. Go to James chapter 4. Just some more details on how this works. James chapter 4. James 4 and verse 7. You want to notice the order of this. We're talking about overcoming the devil. James 4, 7. A really good verse when it comes to this point. James 4, 7 says, first thing, submit yourselves therefore to who? Anybody there? Submit yourselves, therefore, to who? All right, let's talk about that word submit. That prefix sub means under. You are putting yourself under. You're willingly placing yourself under God's authority when you submit yourself to God. Correct? That is step number one. That's got to be step number one. But look at step number two. Resist who? The devil, and he will flee from you. You gotta do step number one first, because you won't be able to resist the devil unless you first submit yourself to God. And when you submit yourself to God, you're putting yourselves under his authority. And where do you find God's authority? His final authority is his word, right? So you're willingly subjecting yourself under the authority of God and his word. And when you do that, then you have the power to do what? Resist the devil. And the Bible promises you, when you resist the devil, what does it say he will do? He will flee from you. But then you got to keep reading. Look at the next verse. This is step number three. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. So right after you put yourself under God's authority and you resist the devil, you better do step number three. What is it? Stay close to the Lord. See, here's a lot of times we might find ourselves in a position where you put yourself under God's authority. You resist the devil. And then you say, man, I did all right. Big mistake. It wasn't you. You better stay close to the Lord, or else guess who's coming back sooner or later? He's coming right back. The devil, that is. So, with that in mind, go to 1 Peter 5. You've got to put all these verses in a line here. You and I have zero power to defeat the devil. You need the Lord. You need the sword of the Spirit. 1 Peter 5. Look at verse 8. 1 Peter 5, 8. These two verses will go hand in hand with James 4, 7. 1 Peter 5, 8. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may do what? You know what the devil's desire is, according to what we just read? He's not out to get you to sin. He's actually out to devour you. So sin is just the first step in a downhill slide that ends up with you being devoured by the devil. You say, he can't devour me. He can devour your testimony, can he? He could, if you let him. If you try to do it on your own, he will. You got to trust the Lord for that. So look what it says. It says, seeking whom he may devour. Now, here's the key. Verse 9. Whom resist? Now, we were told to resist in James chapter 4. How do we do that? Verse 9. Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So you resist the devil by maintaining a steadfastness in your faith in what God said. You also have another piece of armor that helps you out. You have the sword of the Spirit, and God also gave you a shield so that you might quench the fiery darts of the wicked. It's the shield of faith. See, that shield of faith and that sword of the Spirit go hand in hand. You got to dodge and you got to go on the attack. Or you got to block, I should say, and then go on the attack. Now go to one last place here. We resist the devil by maintaining our faith in God and His Word. Go to Jude. Go further to the right. Jude. It's only one chapter long, right before Revelation. And find verse 9. Jude 9. We'll watch this one. When it comes to overcoming the devil, this is a good one to end on for this point. Jude 9, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, and he says four words, the Lord rebuke thee. Now, y'all know, you think about principalities and powers. Michael the archangel's got to be way up there, right? I mean, he does not equal the Lord Jesus Christ. He's obviously under his power. But when it comes to all these heavenly powers, you figure Michael the archangel's got to be way up on the list. But even Michael the archangel, when he came nose to nose with the devil, he couldn't defeat him by himself. What did he have to do to defeat the devil? He had to call on the Lord. He said, the Lord rebuke thee. It's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that defeats the devil, even for Michael the archangel. So if Michael the archangel needed the Lord to rebuke the devil, you think we might need the same? I'm just saying, I can't, no saved person anywhere in the church age has the power to defeat the devil by themselves. Martin Luther, he was brought up tonight. He was a great Christian man. Amen. William Tyndale, we talked about him this morning. Those fellows would be the first ones, if they could stand here today, they'd be the first ones to tell you, you don't defeat the devil on your own. Only the Lord has the power to defeat the devil. You better constantly remain steadfast in your faith in the Lord to continually defeat the devil, else you're going to be on your face. The only way you can defeat the devil is the Lord's power. You've got to rely on Him. So we're two for two here. You defeat the world by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You defeat the devil by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you could say both of those. You defeat the world by the Word of God. You defeat the devil by the Word of God. That's where the power is. You think the flesh, there might be a common thread here with enemy number three? Got a few nods. Okay, let's see. Let's talk about the flesh for a moment. Romans chapter 6. Now, I tell you, your flesh is the biggest liar in the world. You know that? You say, I thought the devil was a liar. He is, yeah, he's a liar. I thought the world lies. Yeah, they lie too. But when it comes to personal lies that are told to you, man, your flesh is deceitful. Your flesh will tell you how great you are. Your flesh will say, man, you did a really good job teaching Sunday school. Your flesh will say, man, you witnessed that guy the other day. Man, you presented the gospel better than anybody in the history of the New Testament church. Come on, are you serious? It's funny, over the years, The most effective, this is just me personally, the most effective gospel presentations have been when I've stumbled through it. And I walked away thinking, man, I did a terrible job there. And it actually led to somebody asking more questions or getting saved with me stumbling through that whole thing. And you know what that proves to show? That it's not me that has the power. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit of God that has the power every time. The Lord wants us to know that we are just instruments. And when we willingly submit ourselves to Him and put ourselves in His hand, then we're effective. But without Him, we're nothing. Nothing at all. So go to Romans 6, the flesh. Oh boy, here we go. Romans 6, 11. You think the Apostle Paul might have known a thing or two about victory over the flesh?
Yes.
I mean, if anybody's got insight on this, it's the Apostle Paul. Look at verse 11. Look what he says here. He says, likewise. What's that word after likewise? That's a good old southern word, isn't it? Reckon. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if you're saved, I need to be reminded constantly of the fact that my flesh is not alive. It's decaying and dead. But your flesh will try to lie to you and tell you that it needs something. And your flesh doesn't say, I need it. Your flesh says, I need it, and I need it now. Your flesh is a liar. Your flesh will lead you to think you got to have food or else you're going to die. You can go a while without food. You can make it 3 hours. If you had to make it 3 days, you can make it. Don't go 3 days without water, but you can go 3 days without food. You can make a lot longer than that without food if you had to. So your flesh lies to you. So go on here. It says in verse 12, let not therefore, let me back up here. I left out a very important word. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither, now watch verse 13, here's insight. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto who? Unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. According to what I just read there in that last verse particularly, God's desire is that the saved live victoriously and live in victory over sin. Amen? How do you do that? This is something that occurs in the mind. Look at verse 13 again. It says, we're not to yield our members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, and go on there, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So what is this thing about members? You know what your members are? My hand's a member. My head's a member. My eyes are members. My feet are members. Oh, let's go inside. My brain is a member. My mind is a member. My heart is a member. All those things, if they are not yielded unto God as instruments of righteousness, they will end up being instruments of unrighteousness. When the flesh is in control, your body does unrighteous things, right? When God's in control, your body does righteous things. Go to Romans chapter 8. You talk about insight into living the Christian life. Look at this one. Romans 8, 11. Actually, back up to verse 10. A couple of really good verses on victorious Christian living. Romans 8, 10. Romans 8, 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is what? Now see, your flesh, which is connected with your body, your flesh lies to you. And your flesh convinces you that you need certain things, and it convinces you that it's alive. But what were we told to do over there in Romans 6? Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. What are we told to do right here? It says, well, you're actually not told to. It says, it's a fact. The body is dead because of sin. But notice the rest of verse 10. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So it's funny. You're such a dichotomy. I'm such a dichotomy. I'm alive because of Jesus Christ in me. But then I'm carrying around a dead body because of my flesh. And that flesh gets heavy sometimes, doesn't it? And that flesh wants to drag you down. But you got to constantly be reminded of what you are in Christ and what that flesh is. It's not saved. That flesh is dead. Go to verse 11. Look what it says here. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and that's the case for the saved, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by, how's He going to do it? By His what? His Spirit that dwelleth in you. How is your body, if you were to die in the next 24 hours and the rapture doesn't happen, how's your body going to rise from the dead? How will that occur? According to that verse, it says there that the Holy Spirit of God will do what? Raise you from the dead. Now, I can't think of a more miraculous act than being raised from the dead. Can you? So it probably is no big deal for the Spirit of God to give you and me the power to overcome temptation to sin. That's like nothing to the Spirit of God, right? I mean, raising somebody from the dead, that's a pretty big deal, but the Spirit of God is going to do that. Can't the Spirit of God in the here and now while you're alive, can't the Spirit of God give you the power to overcome the flesh? Now, I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what it is. I know that for the American Christian, I'm going to give you a big one here. So if this hits you right between the eyes, I'm not sorry. Okay? I know what a big one for the American Christian is. I'll give you two, actually. It's laziness and gluttony. Ouch! There's so much that the computer or the phone does for us today and equips us to be lazy and do nothing for God. And food is so readily available to us here in America, at least today it is, that we can have as much as we want whenever we want. You can, in seconds, on your phone or your computer, get food delivered to your house. I mean, a few minutes maybe. Right? It's so easy. Click, 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 boom. And they knock it on your door and they got food for you. I'm telling you, the world system is set up for you to fail as a Christian living victoriously. But notice what I said. The world system. God's system is set up for you to overcome the world and the devil and the flesh. Amen? Now, let me give you one last thing here. We'll wrap up. Go to Galatians chapter 5. You want to know about the flesh and the spirit? This is the chapter. Galatians chapter 5. God wants saved people to be overcomers. He wants them to live victorious lives. Live in victory over the world. Live in victory over the devil. Live in victory over the flesh. So take a look here at Galatians 5. Over in Galatians now. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 16. You get a little glimpse of what goes on within you every day if you're saved. Verse 16. This I say then. Walk in the, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's an easy key right there. You want to overcome the flesh? Four words. Ready? Walk in the Spirit. See, this whole thing, Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, and the Word of God, they all work together to help you overcome. This is a repeated pattern. Are you seeing that? Jesus Christ, God's Holy Spirit, and the Word of God, they are all the keys to overcoming, whether it be the world, the flesh, or the devil. All right, go on here. Verse 17 tells you a little bit about what goes on within you. 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. I tell you, that verse is really insightful. Why is it that none of us in this room live all day, every day, according to the will of God and for the glory of God? Why is that? That flesh right there, that's what it tells you. Notice the word against. The flesh is against the Spirit. The Spirit against the flesh. And then it has another word there that means the same thing. These are contrary. Folks, your flesh will convince you sometimes. Your flesh will try to convince you that it actually is in perfect alignment with the Holy Spirit. Your flesh will deceive you and trick you and think, it's not really that bad. Your flesh will tell you, only one time. After that one time, never again. You know that's a lie, don't you? Because after that one time, the flesh will say, just one more time. And then one more time. That flesh is so treacherous, it will have you thinking that it's okay to just one time not do what God wants you to do. How many sins does it take to be a sinner? And I know that, and here's what your flesh will do also on that line of thinking. Your flesh will say this, you already sinned, what's one more going to matter? Your flesh is the biggest liar because you know that with sin, always, 100% of the time, comes a consequence. Now you say, well, God will forgive me. So that's another thing your flesh will do. God will forgive you, so why not do it? See how treacherous that flesh is? It'll convince you it's okay to sin because God will forgive you. The flesh will use the word of God against you. The flesh will say, doesn't 1 John 1:9 say, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins? That's right. The flesh will make you think, it's okay, God will forgive you. Now that's a half-truth. Does God forgive sin? Are you going to negate some kind of consequence with your sin? The consequence is coming. It might be in this life and it might be at the judgment seat of Christ, but you're going to lose something one way or the other. See, the flesh is such a treacherous thing. How do you overcome the flesh? You tell that flesh, shut your mouth, you're dead. I'm not at school, so it's okay to say shut your mouth, all right? That flesh will lie to you. You tell that flesh to get down. You're not alive. You can't talk to me. How are you even saying anything? You're not alive. But your flesh will sure act as if it's got as much life as you do in Jesus Christ. And it has nothing compared to that. So there's a few things about the flesh here. Let's go down to verse 24. Last thing here. Watch what it says. This is a good place to end here. It says, and they that are Christ's have done what to the flesh? What did it say in Romans 6? Reckon it to be dead. What does it say in Galatians 5? Crucify it. So that the Bible repeatedly tells us that flesh should have no power over us because it has no life. So look what else it says. It says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Then a last little key here, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Hey, last thing here tonight. When tempted by the flesh, the first thing you ought to do is pray. Lord, that flesh is lying to me again. Help. Lord, I cannot in my own power overcome the flesh. I will fail. Lord, please give me the power by your Holy Spirit to overcome this temptation I'm facing right now. Pray. Step number one when you're faced with temptation of the flesh or the world or the devil. Pray. And then you better get in that Word of God. Now, if you don't have it ready to grab close by, where should it be? How are you going to overcome the wicked one? You better have some verses ready to call up. I know some of you probably think, man, Rockwell keeps putting all those verses in there every week and he makes them longer and longer every week. Listen, here's the thing. You may not be able to memorize 4 verses and remember them. And that's okay. But you can memorize one. I mean, I think everybody in here, regardless of how long you've been in the Bible, regardless of how old you are, you could do one a month, couldn't you? Yeah. And if you can't keep track and keep the 4 every week, most people in here could do one a week if you really put forth some effort to do it, couldn't you? Yeah. See, some of you are still skeptical. You haven't tried. You can do it. And you say, why should I memorize? You memorize so that you are equipped and you can use it against the devil. You need to be reminded, where are we at this week? 2 Corinthians 5. If any man be in Christ, what is he? A new creature. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things associated with the flesh are what? Passed away. All things become new. That's a good verse to use against the devil. That's a good verse to use against the flesh or the world. It goes on to say you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Amen? The flesh wants to make you think, that's not important. The greatest ambassador in the world is an ambassador for Jesus Christ. That's better than the American ambassador to Israel or the American ambassador to Hungary, American ambassador to Turkey. Be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. That's more important than all those ambassadors, right? Memorize the Scriptures so you can use them when you need them. Oh, you need them. I need them. You will fail without them. You will fail without the power of God. Hey, This whole study on overcomers, we went through 11 different people in the Bible. And I could have stopped after number 11 and said, be like all these. And that would have been good, right? Now you got no excuse. We just did number 12 and you were given the keys to overcome. Continually lean on Jesus Christ. Continually call on Him for help. Get in God's Word. Walk in the Spirit. That's how you overcome. That's how you do it. You can't do it on your own. You've got to trust the Lord continually to do that. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for showing us some really helpful things here from Your Word about overcoming. Help us in the week ahead. Every single one of us will be faced with the world, the flesh, the devil, maybe one of those, maybe all those at one time, maybe different times. I pray that we be reminded of the power of Your Holy Spirit, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of Your Word. And I pray that in the week ahead, we would be able to come back here next week and just brag on You and how You helped us overcome. And that the power of the Holy Spirit is always ever present to help us overcome. I just pray that we would be equipped as we go from here. Maybe we need to take some time to make some things right before we leave here tonight. I pray that all of us would take the time to do that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.